Welcome back to the Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. So, yes, there's people out there who grow their own organic vegetables. There's people who collect rainwater in a barrel. They probably never color their hair. They chain themselves to old growth trees, and then they have their child be diaper-free into the woods. And it's just, it's a great environment for a lot of people. But for me, that doesn't actually apply. I get very confused by all of the choices out there. And I don't know if you do as well, but there is a solution to all of this. There's a great book called The Virtuous Consumer. Clears up all the confusion for a lot of us. Leslie Garrett is the author. She is my guest today. Thanks for joining me.
Hello.
Hi. So why did you go on a quest to find all of these answers for yourself about how to shop and buy things in order to contribute to the environment rather than taking away?
Well, there are a couple of things that sort of brought me to this point. I've always been concerned about social justice issues, sort of sweatshops and child labor, mm-hmm. and just, you know, poverty, and I've always sort of worked in terms of volunteer commitments in that arena. But I wasn't much of a consumer, so I really didn't think about it too much in terms of the impact my consumer choices had on those issues. And then I started having children, and children turn anyone into a consumer. It seems like you're always at the mall, somebody's
so
out of something,
true.
Or somebody's outgrown something.
Yes.
And
yes.
I really became conscious. I can remember the moment when I was in a store and held up a package of undershirts. My daughter needed little sort of toddler-sized undershirts.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I think, three undershirts in a package for $3.99. And I it was just kind of one of those, how is this possible? How can this only cost $3.99,
mm-hmm.
when I probably couldn't buy the fabric, the thread, you know, and package it myself,
right.
for that amount of money? So, and of course, we know the reason. And right then and there, I just thought, I don't want to be complicit in this. I don't want to be complicit in the exploitation of another human being, you know, possibly a mother like myself. And I started researching, how can I buy things that weren't made in sweatshops? How can I ensure that there was not child labor involved and that someone was paid a fair wage? And it's, you very quickly get into the environmental arena. So it wasn't actually my original intent.
That's how you go. You know what, that was my first question for you. It says 99-cent stores.
Yes.
I mean, where do those products come from?
Well, as my eldest daughter, when she was learning to read, she came home from a birthday party and pulled out all these little, mm-hmm. you know, little kind of things. And so, of course, she's reading everything because she's, you know, excited about it. And she says, Mommy, everything says made in China.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's
well,
true.
There you go.
Yes.
Out of the mouths of babes.
It's true. Half of my daughter's room is from China.
Yes.
And it's insane. And then there's all these things that they're finding out now about the fact that these... There's lead-based paint.
Absolutely, and that's what I discovered. I discovered that companies that tend to be very cavalier about labor regulations are equally cavalier about the environment. So the book just grew from that.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. So now, what about buying clothes, especially for kids? I mean, I just bought shoes for my daughter 3 weeks ago, and she has grown out of the two pairs of shoes I bought 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yikes.
And, but she goes through them. I mean, the toes are all worn out, so she works those shoes.
Well, they do. They're hard on their stuff.
But how do you find clothing that is inexpensive, that is not made with somebody being subjected to horrible labor conditions and who's 9 years old?
It's hard,
mm-hmm.
and the clothing sector of all of them that I examine in the book. I mean, everything from you know, automotive to cleaning products to, you know, food. The clothing sector lags way behind, specifically with regards to labor conditions. They're starting to move in terms of the environmental concerns. They're moving more towards organic cotton and bamboo, and you can find those things more easily.
But they're very expensive.
They are. They're coming down. I actually found organic cotton tank tops in the summer that were about $9. And I'm in Canada. They were made in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Which is no guarantee, but it's certainly a better indicator.
It's a little bit more
so
local.
So you can find things. It's not easy. But one of the best ways, particularly with kids, that I recommend is buy secondhand.
Mm.
And
yes, there's some
for
great.
One thing, it's, I mean, you're keeping things out of landfills. Kids, as you said, frequently are out of things, in and out of things in a month or two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you buy sort of high-end secondhand clothes, you can get, I've got three kids of my own, and I mean, I've got clothes that have,
you got your
I
own.
Received as hand-me-downs that have made their way through three kids.
You've got your own automatic recycling environment.
Pretty much.
So tell me about how you can shop with a green and social conscience. What should you absolutely never buy, and what are the good things to buy?
Well, it's basically what I suggest is that people, when they're starting out on this path, you just start asking yourself some questions. And it seems like a lot of work at first, but I promise it does become second nature fairly quickly. But kind of one of the first things is, what is the product made of? I mean, what were the materials that were used? Are the ingredients organic, fair trade? Are they virgin or recycled? And then you can kind of move to who made the product, and I mean, or in what country, or in the case of food, who grew it, which, again, can sort of give you an indication, was it a big, agribusiness and with regards to food, or was it sort of your local farmer, was it a local craftsperson, or was it some huge factory cranking things out in, in some developing country?
Mm-hmm.
How long will it last? I mean, that's probably one of the key
that's
things
true.
To ask yourself. How long
yes.
will this last you?
Some of those clothes that you buy at the dollar stores, they fall apart in the first washing. So is
well, they
it really...
do, or they pill, or the buttons fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, you're saving money in the short term, but are you really saving money? And you're certainly not keeping things out of the landfill.
Well, now let me ask you about the organic products. And it's good to, of course, buy something that's farm locally, farm-raised, and I see these things in the supermarkets. And there's organic products from Chile or organic products from a third-world country. How do we know that these have really legitimately passed the Organic Foods Act? I mean, how do we know that for sure?
Well, there usually is a certification on them, and it is a pretty rigorous process that something has to go through to get the U.S. certification, regardless of where it's grown.
Okay.
So, I mean, that is a pretty good guarantee. Now, the one thing that's really become into people's minds recently is the whole notion of organic versus local. Just in terms of people are aware that if something is shipped 3,000 miles to them, I mean, as I said, I'm in Canada. To get an orange in February,
right?
It's come to me from probably 2,500 miles away. And, of course, there's greenhouse gas emissions attached to that.
Right.
So while it may have been grown organically, how much pollution was emitted just in the transport?
But at the same time, have you ever tried to carry an orange from one side of the country to the other? I mean, by the time I get home, it's squashed and it's a mess. I mean,
well, it's true. And that's the other thing you learn fairly quickly is that this stuff, it doesn't taste as good. And
yeah.
So, I mean, ideally you're buying local organic produce, but if not certified organic, I mean, get to know your local farmers.
Yeah, and the farmers markets are great in this area. There's so many of them, and it helps. You can bring your kids, there's things to do. All right, I have a question about the whole fair trade thing.
Yeah.
What is fair trade? Is buying fair trade coffee a good idea at a coffee house that probably has really bad standards and everything else? I mean, what do you think?
Well, fair trade is, again, it's a certification process. And when something has been deemed fair trade, and again, I mean, these things are fairly well policed, these particular certification programs. There are those that aren't.
What does fair trade mean?
Fair trade means that the workers that grew or provided the product were paid a living wage.
Okay.
So it's your guarantee that there wasn't exploitation, that there was no child labor,
that it was
fair trade.
I don't see a lot of
people were getting paid fairly.
I think I would love to see that at supermarkets. Like these are fair trade apples. I mean, do those exist?
They do. Now we don't see a lot of them. There are sort of fair trade produce that comes out of South Africa. Sometimes you'll find a fair trade apple. Those in the UK are more accustomed to seeing it than we are. But again, these things like organic and fair trade, they do tend to cost a bit more at this point. But the more people demand them, the message that we're sending to these companies is that this matters to us. Mm-hmm. And that's the other point I really try to make with the book, The Virtuous Consumer, is that we are casting a vote with every dollar we spend. And we need to educate ourselves about whom we're voting for, but we're also sending a really strong message to these companies. We want to support your company, but we want to feel good about it. So please provide products that allow us that.
That is ultimately supporting any corporation is going to pay attention to the bottom line. And when enough people start making a voice about it and they start to pay attention.
Absolutely.
What about for teens? How do you make being a virtuous consumer hip for the teenagers and youth and so forth so that they really start at a young age to be virtuous consumers?
Well, they do. And in fact, I'm actually working on the sequel to The Virtuous Consumer, which is The Virtuous Young Consumer.
Cool. Great.
And most of my other books have been written for a younger audience. So I do a lot of school presentations and so on. And young people are incredibly passionate. If you can engage them, if you can educate them about things, they also have an incredibly strong sense of fairness and of right and wrong. And you let them know about child labor. You let them know about what some politicians are doing to the world that they're going to inherit, and you can get them pretty riled up.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And similar to adults, they want to make better choices. They want them to be their choices. But it's a matter in many cases of simply providing the information. They'll draw their own conclusions.
I mean,
they're no fools.
There is, in Los Angeles, there's an environmental high school.
Is there really?
Yes, there's a whole new. I saw some of the kids come and speak at the opening of one of the environmental films I went to, and they're incredibly well-spoken and outspoken teenagers, and they're great. They have a great community there.
Well, it's interesting. I heard an Aboriginal teen speak at an environmental conference in California last year. He was unbelievably eloquent. But I think what really hit home was he said to people, he said, what your generation is doing to the planet is an act of violence against my generation and all the generations to follow. Mm. And, I mean, everyone, you could have heard a pin drop mm-hmm. in this auditorium of 3,000 people. But, I mean, he made a really good point. What we are doing is going to harm their world.
Yeah, that's very true. And from Australia, by the way, is a living wage country, isn't it?
Right.
The whole country is living wage. So
there are
that
very progressive places around the world that we can certainly take our cue from. I think we in North America like to think, you know, that we're kind of leading the way in so many things.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I think that arrogance has prevented us from taking a look at what is happening around the world. And, I mean, the UK and sort of a lot of Western Europe is so quite a bit ahead of us just in terms of environmental initiatives.
So, wait, I have one last question. What is the greater producer of greenhouse gas emissions? Is it driving cars or is it cattle?
It is those darn cows.
It is. Interesting.
They're burping and they're flatulent.
I've always, you drive by the 5 here in Los Angeles, forget it. You got to roll the windows up and it still doesn't work. All right, the website that people can find out about you is virtuousconsumer.com. All sorts of great tips and all sorts of great things that you can learn about how to buy the goods and shop with green and social conscious. My guest has been Leslie Garrett. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you.
All right, and that's it for me today. Thank you so much. This is Lisa Garr. You've been listening to The Aware Show.